welcome to the Two Coffee Teachers Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I am Alex, and we are two young educators who want to contribute to our field. So on this podcast, we talk about education and relevant content to apply in our classrooms. It's our hope that this podcast can also encourage educators without needing that second cup of coffee.
If you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you're a regular subscriber, thanks for tuning in. We're glad you're listening and hanging out with us today.
So for today's main topic, we will be discussing health and teachers.
Yeah, teacher health, what it looks like to be healthy, health issues that teachers face, all are fair game for the podcast episode today.
So Josh, you were telling me before we set up our little recording studio that you had a little activity or fun sort of game that we wanted to mess around with a little bit today.
I sure do, buddy. I got some ideas. I really like the Who Said It game that we played a couple episodes ago. I thought that was a lot of fun, so I wanted to do something a little bit similar today. So I did some research earlier this week, and when I was researching, I found some weird, and I mean weird, educational article headlines.
All right.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two options, and they're each going to be an article headline on an educational topic. Okay? So you'll have to decide which one is a real article headline and which one I made up.
Okay. Let's do this.
All right. Remember, one of these is real and one of these I made up. Okay? So here's our first question. Okay? Either schools provide free coffee to middle school students, or school rewards students who lie. So school provides free coffee to middle school students, or school rewards students who lie. Do, 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 do.
Free coffee?
Free. All right, free coffee is the real one?
It is the real one.
It is not.
It is not the real one.
Can you imagine giving free coffee to middle school students?
My thought was that I have a cousin who's currently in a private school in the North Carolina region. I'm not going to get too specific about it.
Sure.
But at their breakfast, when they serve the breakfast to the students, they have a little coffee bar.
Huh. No way.
Yeah, for the 7th and the 8th graders.
See, in my experience with middle school students, they have a lot of energy and excitement. I can't imagine giving them all coffee. You know what I mean? Like, that would... I think it's
more on, like, the double chocolate chip frappuccino side of the coffee.
Okay.
It is still a very heavily caffeinated product that is being handed out to middle school students.
That's hilarious.
All right.
I made that up. So, school rewards students who lie... Real article from 2012 published in Huffington Post. That's where I got a lot of these. Basically, they could get out if they did something wrong. As long as they can come up with a witty lie to get out of it, they were deemed okay because they figured that was a practical life skill. I don't know.
I feel like that's a misleading headline, though, because it's not they're rewarding the lie. They are rather not justifying it, but they're... I feel like it's not a reward, though.
It is a reward if you did something wrong and you're posed with a consequence if you get out of it.
It's like a get out of jail free card. Almost.
Yeah, I guess so. But
I don't know if that's a reward. Like, I'm not being rewarded for being bailed out of jail, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe a little misleading, but the point coming across is the same. All right, here's our second one. Ready?
All right.
All right. Number two. Either teacher uses robber gun to teach students to spell, or local high school pilots dentistry elective. So teacher uses robber gun to teach students spelling, or local high school pilots dentistry elective.
Let's go with the robber gun.
Robber gun is the truth, or
is the truth?
Yes, that one's real. That one is real. I don't think you could have students pulling teeth out in any kind of...
No.
That would be... Can you imagine going into class and walking in and
maybe
having...
Maybe like an anatomy elective.
Yeah.
They're like doing it on a frozen cat or some sort of other...
Yeah.
Baby
some
pig
kind of a dissection science-y avenue. You can
right.
tell A.D. Parker and I are not science. That's not our expertise.
The teeth.
No, so this was a 2012 article in HuffPost, and it was in an elementary classroom, and there was an image of And the question was, how do you spell gun? And there was a robber with a bag of money and a gun. And some parents found it very offensive. I think it's not very correct either. It's not necessarily a good message. But, yeah, so that one was the truth. Ready for number three?
Number three.
I have four. I have four total.
Okay.
All right, so you're one for one.
One for two.
One for two. Ready? Number three. Students get prizes for skipping bathroom breaks in grammar school. Or Reddit only viable source for final exam. Students get prizes for skipping bathroom breaks in grammar school. Or Reddit only viable source for final exam.
Let's go with the bathroom breaks.
That's the truth?
That is the truth.
That is the truth as well.
There you go.
There you go.
You know me too well. For all of our listeners out there, I'm a big Reddit fan. That's where I get a lot of my news.
Yeah, that's where you keep up with stuff.
That's in the case that maybe back in my day, I may or may not have ignored some lectures and in the 300-person lecture halls and browsed Reddit to keep up with some current events or just funny stories or heartwarming tales. And I know that that is a source that is very heavily blocked in our many schools. Although it is interesting, I know that in some of the school systems I've been in, it is not blocked.
Interesting.
I've actually used Reddit as a way of looking up resources to include in lesson plans.
I mean, it is an interesting source. It's just kind of on that weird lingo where Wikipedia is, where it's a thing and it's valuable and it's applicable in some circumstances, but not in most circumstances.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap this up with our fourth and final headline.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine getting rewards for bathroom, not going to the bathroom?
Yeah, because teachers don't want their students missing instructional
time. I mean, that's
exactly what I can understand it, but then again, if you got to go, you got
to
go.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. 2012 study or article on HuffPost is where we got that. Last one, number four. Study finds harshly criticizing U.S. education system only causes it to fall further behind peers, or Pennsylvania 8th graders field trip includes Hooters lunch.
Hooters lunch is real.
Hooters lunch is real. So much better than last time we played the game.
We did Mr. a little Parker. 360. That is 3 for 4. That is a Hall of Fame.
That's a Hall of Fame
free throw percentage. That's better than Shaq's. I like this game a little bit better. So
yeah, this is more.
My experience with Hooters is that just like any of those type of restaurants where.
Yeah. What?
Where, I don't know how to phrase this, where there's a little bit more of there's a negative vibe, especially
connotation
with the waitresses and how there's sometimes it's not really against what, or it's very much against what a lot of sociologists try and do nowadays. These are very family friendly restaurants. So you think of that demographic as you get these kind of gross or demeaning, older men in these restaurants.
Yeah.
But at least in the times that I've been, it's very family-oriented. You have grandparents and their grandkids going. And a lot of them, it's good food. I could see how if my 7th grade son, or if a 7th grader went home to mom and dad and said, hey, we went to Hooters or Tilt-A-Kilt for lunch today.
That would be awkward.
Our field trip, I don't know if as a parent I would be okay with that.
Yeah, and that's
but
exactly.
But then again, I mean, I think there are bigger issues at hand.
No, sure, and that's what happened. The article from 2011 on Huffington Post, the superintendent commented that he wished the group chaperones had taken them to a different place, but he did not receive any complaints from parents about the issue. So it's kind of that same vein. Kind of wish they'd chosen something different, but we can't.
Who cares?
Yeah, that first one about harshly criticizing U.S. school system was actually an Onion article where they're I thought that was
so technically it's a real one.
It technically was real, but it's not real. The Onion's not real news.
Really? Are you sure?
We can make an argument. Maybe for another episode, we'll talk about the Onion as a viable
satire.
News source. Satire. Oh, we can get deep into that.
I know there are some of our colleagues. I feel like every time I peruse social media, and there's a individual who posts an article, or an Onion article, as if they believe it is real.
Yeah, that's sad to see. That, especially from a social studies educator perspective, that's sad to see when they think that's real.
Yeah, so with that being said, so that was a good activity.
Yeah, man.
I enjoyed kind of picking and choosing what is actually going on in... or which has gone on over the past couple of years versus what
shows your cultural
Josh
competence.
Pulled out of thin air.
Yeah.
But I think now would be a good time to move into our conversation about teacher health.
Sure, let's get into it.
So overall, I think there is a common understanding. I think, well, first off, I think health in the workplace is something that needs to be addressed nowadays, whether
okay.
it be physical health and mental health as well. We're in a society where it's very competition oriented, and everyone's trying to move up the ladder. Everyone has their own lives to worry about.
Very competitive.
You're very competitive. You're at your job or your occupation for anywhere between 6 to 11, 12 hours a week. You've got to worry about your family. You're paying your bills. But you also want to have to balance all that with your personal lifestyle. And sometimes that can be a huge challenge for people.
Yeah, it's very tempting to just to work until it's done and not necessarily provide that space in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think as we are the Two Coffee Teachers podcast, and
sure.
our main focus is education, we want to reach out to other realms and other jobs and other people's experiences. But at least with teaching, I think we can both agree that it is a very high-paced, high-stress, and very work-heavy career path.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very, very intense. And I think that's a misconception that a lot of people have. You know, there's that expression, oh, you know, when things go bad, you go to teaching. And I think, well, that's crazy. That's a lot more of a rigorous task if
yeah.
you're doing your job well and you're working hard at it.
Mm-hmm. There's so many reasons to love being a teacher, right?
Yeah.
But with that being said, that we do have to keep up with managing. If you're a middle school or high school teacher, you're seeing anywhere between 100 and 175 students walk through a classroom a day.
Oh, an enormous amount, absolutely.
If you're an elementary school teacher, now you're dealing with essentially
those core children,
kids. Yeah, you are the puppet master for anywhere between 15 and 30 young minds who are in your classroom for the entire duration of the day, with the exception of maybe their one specialty class or when
sure,
they have their 30
yeah.
minute lunch
very
break.
Impactful there, right?
So with all that being said, it can take a lot out of you, especially when you're keeping in mind standards and keeping up with your curriculum guide.
Sure.
And especially since a lot of those two things have a direct influence on how you are evaluated as a teacher, it can be very stressful.
Yeah, absolutely. It can take a lot out of you. Burnout is a very real reality in this particular field, for sure. Especially because it can feel... I've heard someone express to me one time where it's like you're swimming and you dive into the pool. You dive into the beginning of the year and you're trying to swim all the way to the other side of the pool without going up for a breath. And you keep swimming and it gets harder as you get to the end, but you keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And then maybe when summer hits or when a break hits, you go, and you breathe again, right? And that's not a healthy way to necessarily approach one's work, right? Help it good that you're diving in and investing and working hard, but there has to be that break. There has to be that breath of air that we reach for. So I think some of the things that we wanted to talk about were physical issues, mental issues, maybe some application points that we want to address as well in regard to this issue. I think you're right. This is something that is really applicable for teachers, but also applicable for our listeners who may not be in education as well. This is obviously very important. I'm going to be pulling a lot of info from educator standpoints, but it is very applicable as well.
For sure.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about first was the physical issue, right? So a lot of teachers work a lot, do a lot. I guess it really depends on your classroom environment and what you decide to set up. I've heard some teachers tell me that they walk up to 5 miles a day just in their classroom, just from walking around the room, from teaching, from pacing, from moving up and down. I've heard other teachers who maybe that's not necessarily their style, and they're very sedentary in the classroom, and that they don't get as much exercise, right? But exercise is one of those things that's very, very important, especially if you're more of that sedentary situation, mm-hmm. right? That's going to be an issue. You need to get your endorphins pumping a little bit, you know what I mean? That's going to make you feel better. That's going to get you more excited. It's going to actually physically make you happier. Like, that's science. That's science. That just goes to show my social studies background. That's science. But yeah, it's huge. It's hugely, hugely important. That's the first thing I really want to emphasize, that somehow you got to be getting exercise in teaching.
And with in addition to exercise, you just have to take care of your body as a whole, right?
Yeah. No, for sure.
If you like, if you're, I know it's, this is a little bit harder for our elementary school or our prospective elementary school teachers or our current elementary school teachers, but you're in charge of your kids all day.
Yeah.
But if you have to go to the bathroom, you need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you got.
You need to excuse find a yourself.
Way. Find a way. One of the biggest health issues for elementary teachers is UTIs,
mm-hmm.
because they're stuck. They just find themselves stuck managing, being in charge of kids all day, and they don't have that break to go and use the restroom. It's a huge problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in the elementary thing, but I can't imagine having that be an issue. That would just be very... I can only imagine how difficult that is. Shout out to all of our elementary school teachers. You guys rock. Proud of you. Right? So, taking care of our bodies, huge, huge part of that as well.
I think the other point with taking care of our bodies, so... Yeah, make sure you excuse yourself, make sure you're staying active, and make sure you have a couple bottles of Purell in your room, or maybe you're washing your hands a little bit. I feel like, and I know that as we were doing a little bit of our research preparing for today's episode, schools are germ clusters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I don't even want to know what kind of bacteria and diseases are
just circulating.
Sorts of...
It's just a lot of people, man.
Things and stuff that's going around.
Right, and that's part of working in a place with a lot of people, mm-hmm. right? That's going to be an issue in any circumstance. But definitely with schools, it tends to be more of an issue. Not all students are quite as responsible with fighting germs. And that's okay. That's the reality we work in. That's the field we chose to be in. You and I both have friends that have been first-year teachers within the past 5 years who come back and tell us how many times they've gotten sick during their first year teaching because of how hard they're working, for sure, but also just trying to fight germs and not being able to fight germs that their students are bringing in. I've had teachers in the past who, as they get further down in their career, they find themselves getting sick less just because they've gotten sick so many times from the illnesses that their students are getting. They build up such an immunity mm-hmm. to their illness and to what their students bring. So I think that's kind of funny that they build up such a huge immunity. It's good, right?
Now, in addition to the physical health, I think it's important that teachers and, well, all workers, but definitely teachers, are making sure that they're staying together and seeking support when needed. Now, I think mental health has been a big issue with teachers, especially because of the stresses of managing a classroom, keeping up with your schedule,
yeah,
finding time when you have your snow days to try and replace and make up for lost time. And then ultimately, when it comes down to those standardized tests, even if you have kids that are going through any sort of problem, or regardless of the classroom situation, at the end of the day, you are held accountable based on your students' test scores.
And yeah.
It's a harsh reality that we could definitely, and we can definitely go down that rabbit hole at some other point
yeah.
on a future episode, but that's something that we have to deal with and we have to talk about. Now,
yeah.
In 2014, the Teacher Report Network Group conducted a study on mental health amongst teachers throughout the United States, K-12, and over the previous 2 years that they had conducted this study, so in 2012-2013, 88% of educators had suffered from stress or some sort of anxiety-related event.
88%?
Over the previous 2 years. Now, that's not necessarily 88 out or 9 out of 10 teachers were diagnosed with a stress or an anxiety disorder. But that is still 9 out of 10 teachers that had felt a significant amount of stress or anxiety over that time.
Wow. I mean, that's just everybody you're going to see in a day.
Now, to go into a little... Now, to go into the actual diagnosis, another 2014 study, this was a different one. This was a journal that appeared in Occupational Medicine. Mm-hmm. Now, this showed that about 2.5 out of 10, so for the sake of a whole person, we'll say 2 to 3 out of 10 teachers,
okay,
K-12 throughout the country, actually suffered from anxiety. And on the other hand, only 48% of respondents scored above a threshold for what is considered to be depression.
So we're seeing tremendous trends in anxiety. We're seeing a large movement or diagnosis of depression.
Now, not diagnosis, but rather 52% of these respondents scored on this so the researchers that set up the mental health test for these,
okay,
for their sample pool, only 48% scored well enough where they would not be ruled, or they would not have the possibility of suffering from depression.
So we're seeing, but there's potential there.
Yeah,
there's
a large 52% high risk.
Wow. I mean, that's enormous. I don't know comparatively to other disciplines or to other fields or to other careers, but I mean, just with that information alone, we see how prevalent this issue is in our field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm going to be honest, when I was growing up, I didn't really have a lot of interactions with mental health. It was a little bit taboo, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that was your experience. Maybe you can speak on that in a moment. But when I was growing up, there was this kind of understanding that mental health may not even be a sickness or an issue, because mm-hmm. if you can't physically see it, if you can't yell at the pain, you know, then it's in your head. Like that was the misconception
when
I was growing up. So was that your experience?
Like, I think, yeah, and it still is today. You know, you always hear people, we say it in passing all the time, but you're, oh, that Mr. Johnson or Joey or Sally over here. Yeah, they're just crazy. They're just crazy. And I really like that word, because there's the association of calling someone crazy with someone that is actually emotionally ill.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And I mean, you know, I know people that to that they'd say, buck up, like deal with it, figure it out, mm-hmm. you know, work through it, walk it off. Like, this isn't something you walk off.
No, this is something that you have to deal with and battle on a daily basis. And with that battle, another issue that we're seeing in the field of education is that people aren't getting the artillery to support them in this battle, right?
Mm.
So, with going back to the teacher report network group study that I mentioned previously, only 8% of educators and respondents report having some sort of wellness program or policy in place at their school. So only 1 out of 10 teachers, their employers had a mental health program
only
to help
one
with
in,
teachers.
So we're seeing 9 out of 10 experiencing anxiety, but only 1 in 10 who have mental health procedures in place
mm-hmm.
to help with that.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, that's tough. So
that's flip flopped, right?
Just from the sake of this percentage, you're at a school where you have 10 team members, right?
Okay.
So you have 10 teachers in your 8th grade, and 8 to 9 out of 10 of them are consistently feeling stressed or anxious, right?
Yeah.
So who's going to help? Who's going to be the one that reels everyone in,
right,
when it comes crunch time during midterm or grading period?
Yeah, who's going to rally? Who's going to be the guy to pull out? Yeah.
And now, and again, also pull this from this study. I know this goes for many other states, but just for the sake of this one. So Minnesota, they have, for their teacher licensure, they require mandatory training for teachers to be able to recognize mental illness in kids.
Okay, well, that's applicable. That's, yeah.
But
okay,
there's no such training for leadership amongst the teacher colleagues. So it is not required for department heads or administrators or principals to have a similar training to recognize when their when their colleagues are going through a tough time.
Wow. Yeah. So you know, obviously, we're here for the students, right? That's what we're doing here in the first place. But where do we go? The issue here is, where do we go when it's us who's facing that mental illness? And I think the mental illness of the students is something we can, again, something else we can dive into in a future episode. Mm-hmm. We're getting lots of future idea episodes coming out of today. But where do we go in that case? I think I have an answer to that. I think I've heard a story in the past where a teacher was dealing with burnout, a teacher was dealing with anxiety, and they spoke with their administrator, and they went to him and said, hey, like, this is what I'm dealing with. Can I take a walk during my break period or my planning period and just walk a mile around the track, get some fresh air, move in a little bit, doing something different, have some time to think, process. I don't know what that looks like for you. If this is something that you struggle with, I don't want to diagnose you from the air from an episode here, but there is something that can be done to combat a lot of these things. That being said, Parker, let's go into some solid practical application for our listeners. If you're wrestling, if you're in education, or frankly, this applies to a lot of fields, and you want to combat, you want to be healthy as an educator.
Now, I think ultimately, and I know I've had a professor in the past that has told me this as well, need to take time off.
Mm.
You need to have Alex or you need to have Josh time.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Sometimes the work itself is just not important. You can tell yourself, all right, if I need to go see my significant other, if I need to go play hockey, if I need to just
go to church,
do whatever you got to do to bring yourself back down, calm yourself, enjoy something that's going on in your life,
yeah,
then just do it. The work you can figure itself, it will get done eventually. You know, if it means maybe you wake up a couple hours earlier just to knock it out, if it means maybe you turn it in a little bit later and you're department head or your supervisor says, yeah, no big deal, just get it to me whenever you get the chance,
yeah,
then that's going to be really helpful. And especially as we're future teachers, we're going to have to look out for each other.
Yeah,
we're all in this together. We're all
same team, man. Same team.
And it's really important that as you move into, if you're moving into your practicum, you're in the field right now, just look over your shoulder, you know, ask someone how they're doing, if you can lend a helping hand. It's something as little and as effortless as that can really go a long way in solving a problem or bringing someone back in.
Back into the fold, right? So I think you hit on a couple of things right there. Really practical steps, things to work on. One, time management, right? This prioritizing, deciding what's important. I know that I face the ever-growing stack of things to grade all the time. And it's like my email inbox. I want to knock it out and clear it out and be clean, because I like to have a clean desk, right? But sometimes we have to prioritize and decide, hey, Saturdays, that's for me. That's my day, right? If, you know, maybe if you're spiritual, Sundays, that's your Sabbath, that's your day. Or Saturday is your Sabbath, whatever, right? Take a day for you, for rest. Prioritize things. You don't have to be in the school till super late every night getting things done. Prioritize for you. All of the productivity gurus, all the health gurus, they all say the same thing. If you're not rested, if you're not sharp, it doesn't matter how much longer you focus on something, you're not going to learn it. That's why we tell our students that they need sleep before the night of a test. It's the same thing, right? They're not going to process things to a certain point. Time management, find time for you. That's our first two things. Number three, I think it's important to exercise frequently. I think if you're not moving much in the classroom, run. Find times to run. Run 3 days a week, right? The Department of Health and Human Services recommends 150 minutes of moderate aerobic activity or 75 minutes of vigorous aerobic activity every week.
Yeah.
Find a way. For me, that looks like running half an hour a couple times a day. Not a couple times a day. That's a lot. A couple times a week, right? That's what that looks like for me. Maybe that for you, that's something different. I'm doing P90X now, Alex. Did I tell you that? Man, that works my butt. I got endorphins pumping when I'm done, right? I'm getting big, right? That works for me, right? Find something that works for you that fits in your schedule. This is going to be a part of your you time. Time management, you time, exercise frequently, get sleep, right? We need sleep. That's just, we've already dug into that, but get sleep. Have people to talk to, right? Number five, have people to talk to, be accountable for each other, look out for each other. And my last one would be that beware burnout. Have you ever burned out before?
Like, oh, yeah, I think we all have.
Yeah, you hit a burnout point. I've hit a, in college, I had a really hard semester one time, totally burned out, fried, and I had a month of the semester left, and my best work did not happen. You know, I was not helpful to anybody. I was fried, and I just needed time to recover. I needed the summer break, the Christmas break, whatever it was. Coming back from burnout is very, very difficult, so be on the lookout for whatever your limit is. We all have one.
Well, I think that was a very constructive conversation. At the end of the day, if you need help, don't be scared to reach out. If you are feeling like you're kind of dangling a little bit,
yeah,
make sure that you're doing the right things to stay healthy and you're still enjoying the profession of teaching. So,
yeah, we're all in this together, right? Whatever you're going through, we're all here for you. We want to talk about it. If you want to call in, you want to write into the podcast, we'd love to talk to you about it. Alex and I are always willing to have those kinds of conversations, whether it's trying to figure out how to be fit, dealing with mental health issues. All are equally as important.
So please, just like Josh said, continue this conversation that we've had today through our social media and our Facebook group. That's the Two Coffee Teachers on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Two Coffee Teachers. That's the number two Coffee Teachers. Or leave us a voicemail at 443-300-8908. That's 443-300-8908.
Also, the biggest thing.
Still need help on this, everyone.
Guys, we need you. We love you. We need you. Love us back. Rate us on iTunes, okay? That's the best way for people to hear, besides word of mouth, about the podcast. It'll pop up on the podcast homepage on iTunes or whatever your podcast catcher is. The best way for people to hear about, to hear testimonials from our program, besides word of mouth, is iTunes. It takes 30 seconds. Open iTunes, click on the podcast button, find Two Coffee Teachers, give us 5 stars and say, give us your love. It takes 30 seconds to a minute. It would mean the world to us. And tell you what, if you rate us on iTunes, we'll give you a shout out here on the show. And just to show you how much we appreciate it and how much we love y'all. Thanks so much for listening and being a part of the Two Coffee Teacher podcast. Keep it up, the good work in the classroom, guys, without needing that second cup of coffee.
Thank you all. See you next week.
Bye.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
We wish it was 1 week.
Yeah. I see the sweet sun pouring down in the strawberry sky. Tall grass dancing down by the St. John's River side. And I can see Maggie running through the fields full of wild.